Hi, my name's Teresa Cottam, and I'm the Chief Analyst here at Omnisperience. In this issue of our Omnizine, February 2020, I've got interviews for you with Matt Guide, who's the CEO of NTT Security, Jan Webbering, who's the CEO at Avenger, and Tim Orchard, who heads up the managed security business at F-Secure. So before you go and listen to those interviews, I've just got time to introduce to you one of our big ideas for 2020. And in this issue of the Omnizine, we're going to introduce the idea of a new business category, the nano business. You're used to segmenting the business market by the number of employees that a business has, with global enterprises at the top coming down to the large enterprise sector and then the SME sector, which we know represents about 99% of businesses. In fact, if you dig down into the stats, what you find is that in a market like the UK, for example, 76% of formal businesses employ no one apart from the business owner. So they're literally one-man bands. And if we add to that the number of self-employed people, what you see is a lot of economic activity is taken up by very, very small businesses. We've introduced the concept of the micro business into the market, the 1 to 10 person business, but even this is not adequate anymore because very quietly, although sometimes very noisily, a new kind of business has started to emerge over the last few years. This is partly what is described as the gig economy, where people have a side business in addition to their main job or their main business. But it also extends beyond the gig economy into things like selling on Amazon or eBay, or people making money out of social media or making YouTube videos, for example. So we're calling this kind of business, which employs less than one person, the nano business category. We think this type of business is an undiscovered country for business-to-business service providers. We think there's a lot of opportunity there. Currently, most people that are participating in the nano business economy are actually using consumer packages, and even when they have business requirements, they're not necessarily coming to their service provider to have those fulfilled. They're pulling them down from the cloud typically, or they're using free apps, etc. And we think that by really thinking about how you address this very, very small businesses, the micro businesses and the nano businesses, you can actually create some lucrative new revenue streams for yourselves, as well as keeping your customers happier and, you know, raising their customer satisfaction. So we've analysed this new category and we've put some thoughts behind this in the green paper that accompanies this pod scene. A green paper is a discussion paper, so we're always happy to hear from you what you think about this. But the idea is to get the conversation started in our market. So we hope you enjoy that. Don't forget to download your free copy from our website. And you can also check out other articles that we write throughout the month at our website, omnisperience.com. So with that, I'd just like to say, I hope you enjoy this pod scene and reading the green paper that comes with it. So I'd like to welcome to the Omnizine Matt Guide, who's the CEO of NTT Limited Security Business. Welcome to the Omnizine, Matt.
Thank you, Teresa. It's great to be here.
For the benefit of our listeners, could you please introduce yourself and NTT Limited?
Sure thing. So I'm Matthew Guide. I'm the CEO of NTT's security division. Within the security team, we've got about 2,500 people. We have a global presence and we're physically present in 73 countries. So quite a large operation globally. We run and operate 10 SOCs, so security operations centers globally. That's, you know, partly to address our clients' issues, partly to address compliance and regulation, etc. We're a division of NTT Limited, which is the newly formed company, which is then part of NTT Holdings, which is Japanese listed telecommunications giant.
So that's actually something I wanted to talk to you about, Matt, this newly formed NTT Limited. You did this to bring together your holdings in comms and data and security. Can you tell us a little bit more about the thinking behind that and the synergies that you're hoping to gain from doing that?
Yeah, it was an exciting time. I think for the calendar year 2019, I think one of the biggest mergers that took place in the industry, if not globally. So it was the bringing together of 28 companies to form a new company called NTT Limited. That included brands such as Dimension Data, NTT Security, NTT Comms, but also, you know, obviously another 25 brands beyond that. So It was an interesting time, that's for sure. I mean, bringing 45,000 people into a single organization was a lot of work. It was very time consuming for the business. But as a resultant effect of that, I think we have a powerhouse in the IT industry. So just to put some numbers against that, so NTT Limited is about $11 billion in annual revenue. It's over 40,000 people, nearly 45,000 people brought together, as I said, 28 different companies into the one brand, gave us a larger country footprint, so present in 73 countries now. So what it really did for us also, positions us in the top three as a carrier, so a telco type place. So the dark fiber that we have laid globally, and we're in the top three globally for data center, facilities and footprint in the data centers. We're probably in the top three when it comes to security and what we do around the security piece within the organization. So I mean, it gave us some big, significant pieces of leadership within the industry as a whole. What it allowed us to do was to focus our energies as well. So, everybody's on the same train going in the same direction. So I think that was another great outcome of it. It allowed us to, consolidate some of our facilities. And what I mean by that is, in terms of the SOCs, as Dimension Data, we had SOCs around the world, as in Entity Security had multiple SOCs around the world as well. So it brought that all in under one company. It gives you some advantages in terms of our go-to-market, our ability to execute. But all in all, it's still, it was a great learning experience going through the whole integration. And I think we continue to tweak the model to make sure it's beneficial not only to our clients, but also to the organization, NTT.
So it has to be said, Matt, that other service providers have tried to do the same thing. They've tried to bring together comms and data and security with very mixed results. So what do you think NTT's secret sauce will be to make a success out of this business? And more importantly, can you tell us a little bit about why you think an enterprise would want to engage with a solution provider such as NTT rather than go for, say, a standalone security specialist?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think we see competition from the carriers globally, but I think there's some key differences. So the security division within NTT is supported from the top. Jun Sawada is our CEO for NTT Holdings. He's a supporter of the security division and what we do. So in other words, and then Jason Goodall, who heads up NTT Limited, is a supporter of the business as well. So having that executive buy-in is absolutely critical, and I think we've got that. We have some, I think, unique capabilities within the NTT organization. We see a significant amount of the internet traffic, for instance, as much, if not more, than any other carrier on the planet, just because of our footprint. What that allows us to do is have a very unique proposition around security, and it's something that we believe will help our clients in the long run in terms of their security postures. So, we're actually seeing the internet. When you hear a lot of companies talk about threats, it's generally an enterprise threat. So it's already entered into the enterprise and they pick it up from there. So we're seeing things in the wild, for want of a better word. So it gives us a very unique position in terms of security providers globally. I think the next phase of that is that we've come together as NTT. So NTT acquired a company called Integralis, a pure play security company back in 2009. They acquired Dimension Data in 2010. They're very different from a carrier security proposition. So the Dimension Data business comes more from the network security side of things. The Integralis piece was more around the application identity of users and that security play. Then when you combine that to our position as a global carrier, I think it's a very unique value proposition for our clients. We've also got the advantage of a very rich and diverse R&D background within the organization. So NTT has been seen as a leader in research and development around technology and carriers for many years. NTT injects about $3 billion worth of R&D activity per annum. So there's a lot of opportunity for us to really differentiate ourselves in the market through unique intellectual property that we develop. So I think just having all the assets we have, the background we have in all the different areas really allows us to offer a life cycle approach to security for our clients. So we can look at everything from the user to the data center, from the application to the developers who develop those applications. So, I think we're in a unique position in the market at the moment. I think we've positioned the company in the right way. Our revenues, the volume of revenue that we do in that security business sustains what we need to do in the market to do that R&D. So you know, I would say many years of hard effort sort of to get us to this position, but having that executive support, our background in R&D, in technology and carriage, really puts us uniquely in the market to push forward. And I think we can bring a valuable proposition to our clients.
So, Mike, you're clearly feeling very ambitious at the moment. I'm curious to know what we're going to see from you guys going forward. In the past, you've obviously bought companies, you've innovated internally, and you've partnered as well. So what's the balance going to be around that and about how we're going to see you innovate going forward?
Yeah, so another great question. I think, you know, we've had a very strong development culture within the security division. You know, we've got lots of patents on our technology that we've built over the years to make our systems operate more efficiently, more securely, et cetera. Moving forward, I think, you know, we absolutely want to be recognized as a global leader in the MSS space or the managed security services space. We've obviously implemented a few changes in the technology in our back end where we've completed that. We've transitioned our clients onto the new platform. So I think the entire security industry has changed over the last couple of years, and it's really starting to accelerate. You know, I've been talking to various different analyst groups, clients, et cetera, for many years about how security is going to move to a cloud. It's going to be an on-demand control so the clients can switch it on and off when they want. I think machines are going to play a much bigger role in how we apply our security context across an organization. So, you know, we've been quietly in the background developing a lot of machine learning, a lot of algorithms that sit behind that that can help take the human decision-making factor out of a security posture for a client. So I think what you can see moving forward for the security division is that we're hopefully leading the world in our thoughts and our thinking and our positioning and our value propositions around, you know, the next generation of security for our clients, looking how we more efficiently manage applications as they move beyond the boundaries. So that sort of fits in nicely with an acquisition we made on July 2nd. As I said, the 28 companies came together July 1st. Because we didn't have much to do after that, we acquired a company on July 2nd called White Hat Security. So White Hat Security really takes us into that application space. So they do dynamic and static testing of applications, both in the build phase and the operate phase. So it gives us a valuable insight into what our clients are doing and how they're driving their applications, and also allows us to provide a much finer grain of security control for the client. So I think innovation is the key thing. Obviously, client satisfaction is critical to us. So those two things combined together, I think, will help us, you know, be recognized as a world leader in the managed security space.
Okay, so you are in the business of trying to combat the bad guys, whatever guise those bad guys come in. There's always been threats. There always will be threats. What should an enterprise be concentrating on this year, do you think?
A lot of the discussions that we're having with our clients at the moment about how the world's evolving and it's changing, in general, we see the same feeling from our clients, but a lot of their spend still goes into your traditional security. So in terms of legislation, regulation in the industry, it's still very much focused on you've got a impenetrable organization that has these big firewalls around the outside and everything that you run and operate operates from within the company. Now, we all know that that's changed, yeah, over, you know, the last couple of years. So many of the applications are now out on some sort of cloud platform and being consumed differently. So, yeah, in some ways, it makes the war, you know, easier for the bad guys because we've been sticking things out on platforms that potentially aren't as secure as our infrastructure, but ultimately allows us to redesign our security posture with the organization. So, yeah, that's the first thing I'd say is that organizations need to start thinking differently about security. We've got this concept of secure by design. So any technology that goes at our door in terms of a sale to a client, any sort of connectivity, we always have the conversation with our clients, do you want that to be secure? Getting security built into the technology is absolutely critical. So that's the first thing. I think it doesn't matter what you're buying, whether it's a laptop, a server, connectivity between sites, data center space, an organization needs to be thinking that security has to be part of that proposition. If we're not securing it, there's, you know, costs that will be involved when they get broken. So whether it's brand recognition, people steal data, whatever it may be. So we're actually seeing a big upkick in that in terms of our clients engaging from a security point of view. So I think Historically, security was thought of within an organization as the no team. So they'd develop some new application that would increase company revenues. Security team would say no. I think that's changed now in terms of, well, you know, security team gets involved at initiation of the concept of the application or design, whatever it may be. So constantly throughout the development, security is engaged and ensuring that whatever they're building is being built securely, it's being protected, et cetera. So that'd be the second one. So the, you know, the board getting more involved in this decision making and actually being aware of security. The third one is to start thinking about security differently to what we've historically done. So historically, we've had everything on premise. Therefore, we're able to build this big firewall, IPS infrastructure that helped protect our assets because they're all stored internally at the company. Now with everything out in the world, you've got to start to think, I can't put a wall around that application because maybe that's in a container and I'm moving it from cloud to cloud depending on where I'm getting the best price. So you have to start to think a little bit differently. So you start to then think about identity. So who's allowed access to what, where and when, and how are they accessing it becomes absolutely critical. You have to think about your data assets, where they're stored, how they're, you know, communicated. Are they encrypted when they're at rest? Are they encrypted in transit? Yeah, at which point do you decrypt and, you know, again, multi-crypt, I guess, the application of the data? So very different way of thinking about your security posture from identifying the user that's coming in, understanding what they're allowed to access and what they're trying to access. And then the third point of that one would be around what devices are they using? So can we make sure the device is clean before it accesses those data stores. So that, yeah, is a very, as I said, different way of thinking about it. Traditionally, from a managed security service point of view, we monitored an infrastructure. It was stable. It was set. It didn't move at all. But as we move into this world of endpoints and users and identity and data, we start to monitor things differently. So yeah, what we want to know is what your traditional security didn't capture. So pulling log sources that weren't stopped by a firewall is absolutely critical to us to move into this threat detection world. So you know, moving a client's security posture from a reactive point, so they've been breached, something's going wrong, they don't know what it is, they have to react to it. That's, you know, not a good way. I mean, it's good that you react to the problem, but wouldn't we much prefer to be in a place where we're predictive about our security? And that's really where our value proposition. So we've got the secure by design piece, but we really, what we want to do is move our clients to a predictive security posture. So our visibility of the internet, we see significant amounts, somewhere in the range of 40% of the internet at any instant in time. We're taking samples out of that backbone internet traffic that we're seeing and then testing those samples. And so we can see botnets being spun up. We can see bad code being written. We can see transactions taking place on the dark web that, you know, potentially nobody else can see. So we can start to understand. We know where the botnet is. We know the devices and the IPs that are infected. We know that that botnet has been sold to bad guys A. We know the bad guys A, their profile is they go after a certain vertical. They're looking for certain information, maybe credit card information, employee information. So we can then take that data, correlate it, and obviously the machines are helping us significantly here, and then start to ensure that we've got the right security controls for our clients before the attack is launched. So in the instance I gave, maybe it's the financial services industry. We know they're going after credit card details, so we can publish data around that. We can give context to that, the changes we recommend. And in some instances where the level of trust between NTT and the client, we can make those changes on behalf of the client. So we're predicting you're going to get attacked by a certain type of thing, and we're building defenses before it happens. And that's the beauty of the cloud as well. The cloud allows us to instantaneously turn on security controls to help prevent attacks. So moving to that predictive state of security is absolutely critical. I think probably rolls into one of your earlier questions as, you know, where you see us going as an organization. We want to be the predictive security team.
Well, it's been great talking to you, Matt. What I'd like to know really is, what is your key message for the market? And for those listeners that want to find out more about NTT, how can they do that?
I think the key message is we're a significant security player in the IT security space. We are looking at innovation as a core concept of what we do. We want to change the industry. We want to make it easier for our clients to roll out applications, to use the different sources to store their data, things like that. So I think secure by design is one of our key messages. And our second one is the predictive security company. Of course, we're a much bigger organization than just security. So that is another advantage, I think, of the NTT company. We can help you from your data center to your endpoint and all the carriage and security in between. So to find out more about the new company, NTT, you can go to hello.ntt.com for much more information. I think there's some great articles up there on the website at the moment that sort of gives a bit of an insight into the innovation that we're trying to do as an organization.
I'd like to welcome Jan Webbering, the CEO of Avenga, to the Omniscene. Welcome, Jan. Can you begin by introducing yourself and Avenga for the benefit of our listeners?
Good morning, Theresa. Yes, I'm very happy to do that. My name is Jan Webbering, and I'm CEO of Avenga, a newly formed IT and digital transformation company. So what do we do? Our company is a global IT and digital transformation champion with over 20 years of experience. We are not brand new. We are 20 years in the market. We are a combination of four existing companies. And we got together last year to set up a new company called Avenga. Our expertise allows us to understand the complexity of a modern market. And we combined our strengths to serve the clients the best what they should get from us. We work for clients like Roche, GSK, Credit Suisse, Postbank, ABB, car manufacturers all over the market. Avenga is about people. It's not just about clients and technology. We are more than 2,500 professionals by now with offices in Europe, the USA and Asia.
So Jan, can you tell us a little bit more about this merger that happened last year and about the thinking behind it? You talked about the synergies that were to be gained from bringing the companies together. So can you explain a little bit more about that to us?
Yes, surely. So the idea behind Avenga is that the IT market is speeding up in terms of innovation, in terms of customer needs, and in terms of engagement and working models. So what Avenga is all about, we combine the strength of four existing companies that were around for like 20 years or 15 years, and we combine their strength to set up a combined offering where we can come up to the client and say, come on, guys, we run your digital transformation brain-wise, but also with power. So we have enough people on board to solve your problems and enable you to come up with solutions to become the market leader in your area. This is basically what is behind Avenga, and that's basically the story of Avenga.
So, Jan, what do you think the new company's sweet spots are?
You know, there's a lot of expertise in the market and vertical focus in the market. I think our biggest strength, our superpower, is how we see the business and how we work with our clients. Basically, it's about the user perspective and the client-centric thinking. A lot of our competitors say that they do that, but we developed certain working models to do that and to really stay on that client perspective. We think that digital transformation in these days has to start from the client perspective. And from there on, you come to IT, you come to architectures, you come to platforms and systems that need to be built up. But if you lose the client perspective, then you really end up in huge, sometimes misleading IT projects. The specialty of Avenga is really to stay on that client perspective and start the digital transformation journey from that area. We have quite a lot of experience in doing that. We do that within big IT companies, in insurance companies, automotive companies. We do a lot of pharma, and this is where we deliver our strength at the moment.
So Avenga has a very interesting perspective because you are handling lots of digital transformations around the world. What do you think our businesses should be thinking about in 2020, given the experience that you have, Jan?
It's a very good question. And if you, for example, look on companies like Tesla at the moment, they have a huge valuation. The question is, why is that valuation that huge? Because they have the ability to execute fast and run digital transformation from the inside of the company. And that is happening all over the world. 5 years ago, you asked a vendor or a partner outside to run your digital project. By now, digital transformation and running digital projects is a core competence of almost every company across all verticals. By knowing that or by seeing that, we offer our clients first the ramp up to become a digital champion pretty quick, but also transfer our know-how of how to do digital transformation step by step into that company so that the company is enabled to do digital transformation by itself. So we deliver the brain work, like how we do it, and also we deliver the muscle work to do that in the end. And in the end, like the big change to 5 years ago is digital transformation is not a thing that it's a nice to have, it's a must have for everything, for every company. And this is where providers and partners and vendors have to prepare for.
Can you give us some examples of the kind of engagements that Avenger has in EMEA at the moment?
So typical, let's, for example, take insurance companies we work with. They come to us and say, guys, we have a certain market need, and that market need needs to be filled. What is your view as a digital transformation company, how that could be run? So we work not as a vendor to them. We work as a partner. We ideate with the client. We think with the client. Then we set up a role model, and then we execute on that model together with the client. And on that roadmap, together with the client, we make sure that this way of thinking, the agile working method, and the ability to get things done is moved step by step into the client's premise.
Now, I know you also have an office in Malaysia. What sort of engagements do you typically see in Asia? Is it similar to in Europe, or is it slightly different?
Asia is a bit of a different market. Asia for us is a delivery location. In Asia, we deliver managed services and we have a great team on the ground being able to deliver a really good value of quality to our clients in the areas of testing, managed service and other areas. I think what we do in the future, we will expand the offering of the ideation parts to the Asian market as well. But this is probably a thing that we will do next year.
When you think about how the two regions compare, do you think Asia is ahead of EMEA, or do you think they're just moving in slightly different ways?
I think it's moving in different ways. I don't want to say that any market is ahead. What the Asian market, if you stay at the terms of being ahead, is they are really fast in executing. And this is the US and the European market, especially European markets, can learn a lot of the execution speed. From what we see on the digital transformation models, how we work and what is offered, this is basically the same like all over the world. But execution speed and getting things done in Asia is exceptionally good, and this is where the whole world can learn from.
And what can we expect to see from Avenger going forward?
So our plans are pretty straightforward. We grow organically. So all companies who got together have a good organic growth path in front of them, and we are executing on that. Also, we are looking into new acquisitions for new companies who want to join our journey. Because in the end, we very much believe that the IT market needs an update. And we consider to be that update for that outdated IT market. Because we do the stuff different. And we do it with a lot of values behind. We do it with good people behind. We train and develop our people. So going forward is organic growth. And organic growth through new acquisition and a lot of good people on board moving things forward for the best need of the client.
And of course, most importantly, Jan, how can our listeners get in touch with Avenger if they want to find out more about you?
So first, we have a website called avenger.com. And surely we have a lot of contact possibilities on that website. You also can stay tuned over our latest development through our Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, social media channels. And we are also very happy if you contact us directly. So we are open with contact lines. We are a low hierarchy company. Call me anytime. My phone number is available on the website. So we are very happy to engage with anybody who is interested in what we do and even more in how we do it.
So I'd like to welcome Tim Orchard, who leads the Managed Security Business Unit at F-Secure.
Thanks very much.
Tim, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and about F-Secure?
Yeah, sure. So my current role is, as you've kindly introduced me, I'm leading F-Secure's Managed Detection Response Business Unit. That's effectively our managed service that's designed to detect and respond to the full range of targeted cyber attacks that our customers face. We're one of four business units inside F-Secure. So we also provide solutions for consumers through predominantly endpoint security products and technologies, some smart home security products. We do that both direct and with a number of CSP partners. We also provide solutions and products in the wider B2B space, again, predominantly but not exclusively around endpoint security and cloud security. And we also have quite a significant consulting business that focuses on red teaming, incident response and technology consulting.
Can we begin, Tim, by digging a little bit more into that? So many of our listeners might very well know you from the B2C space, but be less familiar with you as a B2B player. Can you tell us a little bit more about your offerings in the B2B area?
Yeah, so on the B2B side of things, starting with consulting, we've got a pretty substantial consulting organization that's spread across probably 13, 14 countries internationally, delivering consulting to a range of clients, but mostly focusing on financial services, government customers, CSPs, and other organizations that are worried about sophisticated cyber attacks. We are very specialized in performing high-end red teaming. We're a member of the UK CREST scheme. We also do testing for the Bank of England. We're supporting TBEST, which is a telco-specific initiative for doing red teaming within the telco world generally. And we also provide incident response to a similar range of clients. On the product side of things, we provide a range of endpoint security products around vulnerability management, endpoint protection. We've got products around cloud protection for Salesforce and Office 365, sold mostly into the mid-market and SMEs. So quite a spread of things that we do outside consumer security.
So the security space is a very noisy space with a lot of players. How do we cut through the jargon? Why would an enterprise or a service provider want to work with F-Secure in particular?
I think one reason why we've been very successful in the consumer space over the last 15 years, I think we've got about 200 CSP customers in the operator space worldwide, is because we really take the time to understand how we can enhance their line of business. And we really have optimized working with us and our solutions to really helping them with their endeavors. And we've been doing the same thing with those kinds of partners, whether it's in the CSP space or other industries that we partner with on B2B solutions as well. We want to be an additive and frictionless partner that helps make their world better and their customers stickier.
Okay, so how does that actually work in practice then, Tim? How do you typically work with a service provider customer?
In traditionally one or more of three different ways, really. I think when you're thinking about security from a CSP perspective, firstly, securing your business is really important to make sure that your business is resilient and therefore that your reputation is good, your customers will trust you because your likelihood of having a cyber attack is low. We help customers with programs of work to define their own security target operating models. We do assessments of how likely they are to be attacked themselves, and we defend their businesses with solutions including managed detection response as an additive to their SOCs and their own internal security capabilities. The second one is around assessing their solutions. So the solutions that they're building, you know, our red teaming and our technical consulting teams regularly are out there assessing the solutions that our partners are taking to market. And thirdly is a line of business where we're quite well known in the consumer world for that. We're increasingly engaging with CSPs around adding our security capability as a discrete line of business that they take as part of a bigger bundle of services, particularly in the B2B space.
So Tim, we're all familiar with the story. The bad guys aren't going away. The attack surface is getting bigger. The threats are getting more sophisticated. What should an enterprise be focusing on in 2020?
I think some of those points I definitely agree with. I think the digital attack surface is getting bigger as more and more organizations use more and more digital technology, which makes the problem bigger in the round in terms of defending that. I think attacks not getting that much more sophisticated. In fact, they haven't for many years. I think what's happening is that the ability to construct a sophisticated attack is getting easier through automation. Bad guys are using automation the same as the good guys. In terms of how do you counter that? I think it's about rebalancing how you look at cybersecurity. It's not all about preventative controls. You can't guarantee that these things are gonna stick. I think you need to look at the balance between preventative controls and doing better detection and faster response.
So I guess the new frontier in the security space is the SME market. It's a sector that traditionally we probably haven't addressed as well as we could have done. What are your feelings about that market and how we should address it?
I think that's pretty true. I think it's hard for your average SME, particularly now they are on the forefront of digital transformation because it's becoming so much easier and faster for them to scale their businesses using cloud. But they don't have dedicated security teams, they don't have security experts, and they're all learning to their detriment that driving a magic bullet cyber preventative solution isn't quite doing it for them. So there is a huge opportunity there. But I think to make that a commercially viable one, I think you need to defend them as a massive scale unit of SMEs. And I think that's where there's definitely a CSP opportunity there.
Do you think this market is more like the B2C space than it is like the enterprise space, Tim?
I think definitely. I think, you know, where we've played in B2C in defending consumers on behalf of our operator partners for many years, we look at them as a set, we build products and optimize them to defend them as a single use case. I think if you're going to tackle the SME world, you've got to do something similar, whether it's in preventative, detective or responsive types of technologies.
And of course, the enterprise market is very interconnected through supply chains and partnerships. So it's actually very important that we do tackle this issue with the SMEs.
Yeah, and it's not the threat to the SMEs business per se. It's the fact that they're a convenient route to go and attack their customers. You know, people talk a lot about supply chain threat. Bad guys are going in through SMEs to get to larger enterprises because there is a level of trust and quite often some digital bonding between an SME and a large enterprise that could be the back door into a major cyber breach.
And I think the other key issue here as well is that everything is moving faster. Our networks are moving faster. You know, we're moving to 5G. We're putting in fiber to the premises. We're moving to the cloud, so our IT goes faster. Our businesses are moving faster and innovating faster than ever before. And security has to really keep up with that, doesn't it?
It definitely does. I think one thing that's not been well tackled is the speed of detecting and responding to cyber attacks. I think there's quite a bit of data out there at the moment that talks about, on average, 200 days still to detect a targeted cyber attack and another 79, 80 days to respond to it. A lot of bad stuff can happen between those different points of detection and response. And I think as an industry in cybersecurity, we need to up our game and detect faster, but also respond faster. A breach in itself is not the end of the world. Breaches are largely inevitable if someone's got enough time and motivation. It's about how quickly you get on top and stop that cyber attack before the consequential action occurs. That is actually the most important thing, much more important than preventing.
Well, it's been lovely talking to you, Tim. I'd like to know, how can our listeners find out more about F-Secure? And what's your key message to the market, really?
In terms of finding out more about F-Secure, please come to our website, fsecure.com. Certainly go and look at our managed detection and response solutions. We provide an awful lot of research that we publish through our website, both research that helps us build better products, but also pure research on cybersecurity topics that we think are interesting for the public at large through our labs website. In terms of key messages, I think for me, it's about balancing prevention, detection and response. And I think it's about making sure that if you, as a CSP, are thinking about how you use security as an enabler or a line of business, that you look at your resources, you don't look at cybersecurity as a whole, and you maybe focus on the areas to build your own capability to defend yourself and your customers organically versus using a specialist for maybe some of the more sophisticated things like the MDR business that we're in. You know, it's easy for us as a specialist to attract and retain some of the greatest, most skilled people to do this. We're here as a resource for our partners to leverage a little slice of that into each of their customer bases. So maybe think about those kinds of things.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this issue of the Pod Scene. We'll be back next month with another issue. And if you missed last month's, you can pick it up off the website. If you'd like to take part in one of our Pod Scenes, then please drop us an email at contact@omnisperience.com.